Thanks, guys. Man, grab your seats, guys. This is awesome. You have fun here, man. This is fun. Gee. I leaned over to Mike. I said, every time you play something, you guys are like rocking it out. And just, I'm like, ah! It might be your fault I talk so much and fast. You got me so wired. No, Jesus does a good job of doing that. That song was phenomenal at offering. Is there any way to like throw them words up there without all the... Can you do it? You really can? You guys are amazing. I'm so non-technical. I'm like, oh, you're my heroes. You can actually do a lot of stuff. Okay, do you see what that just was quoting there? Now, I just want them words of that song. They're coming. I know they're coming. Okay, get behind me. I'm coming through. I'm armed and dangerous. I'm like an army that's fed up with you, commanding you must get out of my way and go back to where you came from. Now, I want you to see something here. Oh, go. I'm telling you no more. I'm sick and tired of all your lies. Nothing you say could make me agree with you. I know the truth. You just don't know who you're messing with. I'm a warrior. Oh, go. I'm telling you no more. The weapons of my warfare, they're not carnal. This is amazing, whatever that says. The weapons of my warfare, they are not carnal. The victory is mine, taking back everything. At least seven times. Now here's what I want you to say. Raise my sword and make you wish you never even tried. That's good. We got where I wanted to go. That's all good. And it got to that point. It was all good. Now I want to read something to you. You guys ready? I'm going to spring off this song for a little and just teach you something that's going to really help everyone, even if you're already helped. It'll keep you helped for sure. Listen, don't think, man, I heard that before. What haven't we heard almost? I mean, come on. You don't know the word till you become the word. When the word becomes flesh, that's when you get it. When you can quote it, that doesn't mean much. Satan's not impressed with you reading your Bible, going to church. He's not even afraid that Christians go to church. He gets concerned when you take the word serious and let the word start becoming who you are. That's when it's serious. You guys follow me? It's very important that the word becomes flesh. The word you've become is the word that you understand and that you really know. Okay? So I want you to see something here because I've watched. Well, Paul said this. Paul said, it's not tedious to write the same thing to you over and over for you. It's a safeguard. Hebrews 2 says this, take earnest heed of the things you've heard, lest they slip away. 2 Peter chapter 1, after an amazing chapter of 2 Peter chapter 1, I'd encourage you to open up that book and read that thing, man. 2 Peter chapter 1, after Peter writes this amazing chapter, he says, I write these things to you, brethren, even though you know them and are established in them. He didn't write them because he was correcting them. He didn't write them because they were lacking. He didn't write them. He said, I'm writing these things even though you know them and are actually established in them. But I think it's good to stir you by reminding you. And I'm going to make sure that you have these things in front of you even after my departure, that you always have this reminder. And he did a pretty good job because in the year 2014, we can read it. So he did a pretty good job of keeping it in front of us, huh? Even after his departure, we still got it in front of us. So we have to be very careful. Oh, I heard that before. I need something fresh. You know, that's an old word. There ain't no such thing as an old word. It's timeless. Heaven and earth's passing away. My word remains forever. Come on, guys. We're not being entertained by a new word. We're being transformed by the word that's already been given. You see what I'm saying? So, yay. I want you to see this song we just sang, and I want to teach you something. I talked about it a little in the porch today. And we had church all day. Some of you didn't know that. I'm sorry. I don't know. It's not that there's a select group. I guess they just gathered some leaders and folks, and we got together. We talked about this 90-day thing and vision a little bit, and we just had a good time. We ate, fellowshiped, and people love each other around here. It's really cool. It's like somebody gets it. I like your shirt, dude. I like the color. Man of God. Women of God. I just thought that was cool. I saw what you. I was like, Mike, come on, man. Wait. Wait. I'm just kidding, man. You know what the color green is in my color code in my Bible? Love. Yeah. It's right there, dude. Love. See, I'm like a little kid, man. All this technology and I still got colored crayons. Yay. Look at this. It makes a pretty Bible. Look at this. And it all means something. Okay, I'm going to preach. I'm not stalling. I got something to go here with. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, that doesn't mean you're living by the flesh. It means you have a body. You're on the earth. You're in a body. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Who knows that sometimes it feels like you're subject to even the things of the flesh? Who knows that you could be driving your car and a strange and stupid, it's all right if I use that word, I hesitated, but I feel like I got the green light. A stupid thought. Because if it comes from hell, man, it's stupid. I'm just saying. Listen, a strange and weird thought can come out of the blue. Who's ever had that? Who's ever just been driving along, talking in a conversation, you're just sitting and you're totally at peace in your heart and you ain't got nothing specific on your mind, you're just musing on some good things, you're just talking, and all of a sudden, just something weird passes through you. Anybody ever have that? Anybody ever wake up and have a dream they wish they didn't have? You be very careful how you handle that stuff. You put it on a stage to perform and you give it power, that's not cool. All of a sudden you're calling for, I had a bad dream, pray for me. Man, I'm glad you recognize it wasn't God. It wasn't a God dream. It doesn't mean you're in trouble. Just because you have a bad thought and an evil thought doesn't mean there's something evil in you. Wonder if there's something you've been saved from. Wonder if there's something you've been delivered from that wants to keep reminding you to take you back there to make you think that's still who you are. And all of a sudden you're selling cheap when you're not even for sale. You're already bought with a price. Yeah, that would be good, huh? Because here's what Christians do a lot of times. They get tricked and they think everything they think, everything they feel, and everything they experience is who they still are. And they think something's hiding inside them of evil and wicked. They think they're only half saved. They got a lingering evil spirit or they need deliverance. And as soon as you start thinking you need deliverance, you can never live free. You can never be free. And you'll live from feeling to feeling. And until you feel okay, you won't believe you're okay. Come on, guys. And all of a sudden, we're chasing shadows and memories and impressions and flashbacks. Instead of pursuing truth. Because that song was awesome. I don't know who wrote that. I don't know where that thing came from, man. That was good. It was good. And plus it was... You can't hardly sit still when that thing was playing. You're like, I mean, you could not be feeling happy and all of a sudden something just starts moving. I'm sorry. Are we going to have another one of these nights? What is up with you guys? I never got so silly ever as last night, man. You guys egged it on. You're like sitting there waving yourself, fanning yourself. I thought, is it really that funny? And the whole time God's just got your heart laid with his chest is split open. And he's just, and you're like, and you're just all cut up. And you don't have a clue what even just happened. It's so good. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are beliefs that get in you and in your belief system that you accept as true that aren't true. That's what he's talking about here. You can have a stronghold from God. You can get a stronghold in the Lord. I believe I have a ton of strongholds in the Lord. I believe there's things that are beyond touchable. Because I see it, I get it, I've walked it, and there's places of no return in your life. There's strongholds in the Lord. Like, yeah, they're givens, they're settled. Do you know what I mean? Like, try to come. So there's a little imp, and his assignment is to tell me that I'm not loved by God. Way too late. Ridiculous way too late. You're going to tell me I'm not loved by God, I'm going to preach the whole gospel in your face if you're a little imp. And I'm not even going to acknowledge you. I'm going to ignore you, but I know you're there because you're the one that suggested it, because I already know I am love. So to counter love is a demonic lie, and I'm done chasing devils. I'm not going to chase devils. I actually never did chase devils. So just because I had a bad thought doesn't mean I need prayer. It means I need truth. Now, if you're not pursuing a relationship with Jesus, you won't pursue truth. You'll just call for prayer because you're letting that thing replace knowing Him in relationship, and you're just trying to feel better in the moment. But that song was so dead on and powerful because it talks about the weapon of your warfare. I'm not against prayer, guys, but we're trying to let ministry take the place of truth. You don't need as much ministry as you think. You need to grow in the truth and believe the truth and live in the truth and commune with God face to face. There's a lot of things that we've made prayer issues that have nothing to do with prayer. And some of us are actually empowering it because we're real quick to oblige and pray. Let me give you an example. Are you guys okay with an example? So you're not reading into what I'm saying and getting confused? So you wake up in the morning and you think, oh man, and you're relating to a feeling. You don't feel real close to God, feel a little tired in your flesh, that alarm just blared in your ear, and it is already 6 o'clock. And you're like, oh man. It's going to be another one of them days. Why? Because you've had one of them before because it started out this way. So you relate and you're familiar with those feelings. You guys follow me? Yeah. I was thinking, oh man, it's going to be one of them days. I feel so far from God and I just feel like I'm going to struggle. I don't even know how I'm going to make it. I think I'm going to call Mike and just ask Mike to pray me through. That's what we do. It's not even a prayer issue. It has nothing to do with prayer. It has to do with communion with God. It has to do with the weapon of your warfare. It has to do with truth in your life and not submitting to your feelings and turning over your feelings to the power of belief. And while nobody's looking, while you're in your room feeling all that stuff, by faith, simple faith, not strategy, not strategy, just simple childlike faith. Father, I thank you. You're amazing. You love me. You're for me. God, you're right here and you're inside of me and today's going to be awesome because you ordained it and there's new mercy, new grace. My life's on purpose. My life's the will of God. And man, you've changed my life forever. This is going to be awesome. That sure beats. Can you pray for me? Because if you call Mike and Mike's not sharp in that moment, he'll hear your heart and think, oh yeah, man, I'd be glad to be. Father, I thank you for your blessing. I thank you for your peace. God, I thank you that you blessed today. And it sounds all great and it seems all great. And they go, oh, Mike, thank you. You're the best. I feel better now. And then you go to work. But you've learned nothing. And you're going to have more of those mornings and you're being played and you're honestly, I'm not being mean, being deceived. And you're learning and teaching yourself that you're only as good as you feel in the moment. Instead of as good as you believe and have become in Him. That's what this weapon of your warfare thing is all about. And this song, whoever wrote this song is like, you know what? I'm fed up believing lies, man. I'm fed up just chasing after lies, fighting lies, and trying to win a battle that's already won. I'm just going to settle this thing. I'm right with God. He loves me. He looks upon me and smiles. He's made me righteous. He's made me worthy. He's accepted me in the beloved. He sees me in righteousness. And you just ain't lying to me anymore. My life's on purpose. It's a gift. It's worth living. It's not a dread. It's not a challenge. It's not hell on the earth. It's heaven on the earth and it's inside of me. Come on, guys. Or you can just ho-hum your way through. Listen, you can be your best friend or your worst enemy and you can blame it on everything else and you become your worst enemy. Because you won't heed the word of God and lift up your sword. Because the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And it's the truth that makes men free. So you feel far from God. Are you far from God? You feel like He ain't in the room. Is He in the room? So then why do we believe our feelings and pray and sing and try to stir Him till we feel a manifestation? Because we've been deceived into feelings. And we've been reduced to sensuality. And God's given this great gift called faith to sanctify us from our flesh. And we don't understand it in the church, and we mean well, and we care about each other, so we spend countless hours thinking we're helping each other, ministering to flashbacks, memories, bad thoughts, bad dreams, and wrong thoughts. Instead of teaching people who they really are and saying, man, you don't even have a problem. Are you kidding me? Make him pay back 7 times and wish he never said what he said. So when he lies, respond in truth, ignore him, respond in truth, and springboard into a deeper intimate relationship, settle and establish your heart, watch, and have something in the Lord that you wouldn't even have unless he spoke. So all of a sudden the devil's yak, 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 and you're like, Jesus, I just thank you and I praise you. I shared this a little bit on the porch, and then you guys are singing this song, and I'm like, ah! For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in the pulling down of strongholds. If you don't address it in truth, if you don't step into the weapon of your warfare, you'll start believing your impressions. You'll start believing your dreams. You'll start believing your feelings, and you'll spend 2 years seeking deliverance. And the Bible says you have been delivered. And you say, yeah, brother, there's real deliverance. And there's a place for deliverance, but it's not as much in the church as you think. And not everybody needs deliverance like it's preached. You need to believe the gospel because in him you're free. Come on. It would do you a whole lot of good to get alone when ain't nobody looking in the face of your feelings and dare lift your hands high and say, I have been delivered. You love me. You're in me. You're for me. You're all over me. And you have set me free from the power of darkness. You have translated me into the kingdom of the Son of your love. And I'm tired of being lied to. And I'm done believing lies. And if you want, put that music in the background. I'm serious. It's just good. You see what the weapon of your warfare is? It's challenged everything that's not producing life. Everything that's trying to steal life. Come on. There is good-hearted, God-fearing, sincere people driving down the road and they get a memory of 5 years ago that's not cool. And then they call for prayer or think something's hiding in them or why am I still thinking that and I thought I was free from that. You are because you wish you didn't think it. The Bible's telling you that things are going to come to you that you're not conjuring. That's what it's talking about. It's telling you that there's thoughts that are going to rise above the knowledge of God. Why are you taking them so personal and being so responsible? Why don't you rejoice you've been sanctified and set free and let this lie springboard you into truth. And what's intended to break you, let it make you and let him wish that he never spoke to you in the first place. Are you guys following me? You better. I'm yelling loud enough. Come on, I've watched too many Christians that are good-hearted get condemned. I've seen people sell out and sell out and sell out their identity when they're not even for sale, when God is for them. And while they were yet a sinner, he sent his son. And there was a time they used to dream those things up, muse those things, meditate on those things. And now when they come, they violate them. And they get feel bad that they're there. That's a good sign it's not you. So why are you calling for prayer, repenting for what you're not, selling out your identity when you're free, changed, and pure? Come on! The weapons of our warfare, they're mighty, pulling down strong, casting down. That doesn't mean you talk to the devil, guys. I know we're taught to talk to the devil. Stop talking to the devil. He's a cut-off, withering branch coming to nothing, and he loves it when you pay him attention because he is absolutely cut off. You talk about somebody in identity crisis and desperate for attention, it's the devil. And he loves it when you spend a minute of your time talking to him because he's lonely and lost. He ain't getting a minute of my time. You spending 4 hours rebuking the devil, why don't you just stand in truth and he's already rebuked? Look, he fears truth. He doesn't fear your threats. So you get a bad thought in your mind and you're taught to walk the floor all day. I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood over my mind, for I have the mind of Christ, I have the mind of Christ, I plead the blood. All you're doing is getting tired, wasting breath, and wearing out your carpet. I'm telling you. Because what you're doing is you're paying more attention to what he's saying, and what you're doing is addressing what he's saying, and you're trying to believe that you're okay and you're confessing good things because you're acknowledging, I heard that. And then you pace long enough and it seems like really it goes away, but you might just forget because you're distracted, and a half hour later it comes right back and now you're pleading again. And all of a sudden you spend 3 days nonstop pleading the blood, walking the floor, have the mind of Christ, have the mind of Christ, have the mind of Christ, plead the blood, my mind is sanctified, my mind is washed, I plead the blood. We've been taught to do that stuff. And then people, what they do is they say, why isn't this working? I've been doing this for days. It just keeps coming back. And all of a sudden their whole goal is trying to get the thought to go away instead of building the stronghold of the Lord and casting down the lie. They're just trying to get the thought to go away. Watch. Who cares if the thought's there if you don't believe it and it's spurring you to truth? See, yeah, but I just don't like thinking that. I understand. So you ought to rejoice in the truth because that's not who you are. And you just ought to make him pay, just like that song said. Without even acknowledging him, guys. Were you ever ignored in your life just playing around? Or did you ever ignore anybody and friends like whistling and, hey, did you hear something? They're like, oh, knock it off. You know I'm sitting right here and said that, right? It's frustrating. It's just annoying me. When we were little kids, did you ever get ignored like that? You play that ignore game when you're little kids? You don't know how to handle it. You ain't born again thinking Jesus. You just ready to slap somebody. Why don't you ignore him? He's a cut off withering branch. So if he comes and tells you, you ain't going to ever be nothing. You go right into communion with God and you say, I thank you, you've made me something in you. You filled me with the same spirit that raised Christ. That little imp that lied to you sitting there going, girl, where are you coming off talking like that? I didn't tell you that. I told you the opposite.
Exactly.
Listen, you could act this thing out, you know. Satan's over here and he's sending out assignments to people. He's just distracting and deceiving. Look, look. They're getting a revelation of this thing, and I'm getting a little concerned. I want you to go tell them, hey, remember that thing that you deceived them into 5 years ago? Remember how you just watched, looked for opportunity, and when they were down and out and a little frustrated, you wooed them into that? Remember that? Remember how they? Oh, remember how they cried for like months, man, condemned and just beat up bad. Well, they think they're riding high now, and I don't like it, man. It's taking them to a scary place. I don't like it. Go remind them of that 5 year ago thing and just go get them to think that. Just flash that back to them. Run that thing right through their mind. Let's get a stronghold working again. Yeah, boss, you're a genius, man. I'm going to go do it. Serious, man. And then he's just, Scott. And you're just driving and you're not even thinking about 5 years ago, man. You're just thinking about a friend, somebody you just talked to, work tomorrow. Your just mind's just doing like our minds do. It's just working, right? And all of a sudden, out of the blue, you're picturing 5 years ago and that thing you gave yourself to that violated you, that defiled you, that made you lose your honor for a season that you didn't know you could ever recover from. And yet, just a minute ago, you were fine. You were his girl. You were his boy. You were accepted. You were righteous. And now this one thought, and now you're like, oh my God, why am I thinking that? You have two options. Why am I thinking that? What's wrong with me? God, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. I repent. I don't want that stuff. God, I didn't know that was in me. God, I didn't mean to think that. God, forgive me. The fact that it bothers you and you wish you weren't seeing it is a good sign. It's not you. As soon as it comes, what this is teaching, what that song was saying is you do this, you're driving, and that thought comes to you, that little imp sitting there. And you submit to God. And when you submit to God, guess what you're doing? Resisting the devil. It's a one-step program. And when you're resisting the devil, guess what he's going to do? Not right away. He's going to stay stupid for a while because he thinks you're caught in a method and he thinks you're going to grow weary and well-doing. So he's going to poke a little more and take a risk. Because every time he touches you, he takes a risk. His goal is to break you. But he runs the risk of making you if you believe. So you really don't have a problem. You have an answer. So watch this. Come on, this is helping folks. I'm taking time on this because I know it's helping folks. Because there's people in this room that live in the cycle of condemnation because of what they remember, think, and feel. And then you think you need help and you need change. You've already been changed or you wouldn't care. You ought to rejoice that you care. You ought to thank God. So this little devil goes, and you say, Father, I just thank you for the day you came and rescued me and changed my life and saved me forever. And you just drive, and I keep your hand on the wheel and you just look at, and God, I thank you. I just rejoice in the salvation. Holy Spirit, thank you for transforming me from the inside. You've purified my heart. You've changed my life forever. God, you made my heart so for you because I've seen you've been so for me. You've loved me through everything, forgiven me of everything. You have made me yours, and I receive your love. God, thank you. And that devil's like, boss, I told him everything you said. You ain't gonna believe this, man. They lifted their hand and started worshiping God for the gospel and for everything Christ accomplished in their life, and how he's made them brand new. You fool. You couldn't have told them what I said. I did, boss. I'm telling you, I told them every word. You couldn't have. Because when you tell Christians those things, they get grayed out, discouraged, depressed, and call for prayer. Not this Christian. They didn't, man. I'm telling you, boss, I said everything you said, and they went right to God. Freaked me out because God started to come in the car and fill that place up. I had to jump out the window, man. Well, listen, this is what I want you to tell them. I want you to go back and tell them, look, you can worship, you can pray, you can play your little Christian music all you want, but your life ain't no impact. You ain't making no difference. Man, if you wouldn't be here, the world would never miss you. What's so big about your salvation? You ain't touching nothing. Oh, boss, you're a genius. Father, I just thank you that my life matters so much to me that you would send your son, Jesus. You're amazing. Thank you for giving me hope and vision and future. God, I thank you. The kingdom of God is like a man that scatters seed. God, I'm scattering seed in my life. I'm walking in a healthy disposition. I'm showing mercy and making peace with all men. I thank you. You've taught me how to walk in forgiveness and joy. God, I thank you. My life is an impact. Even in the small things, there's big trees growing. God, that's your word in Mark 4. I honor you and thank you for the honor of carrying your kingdom and being transformed. Thank you for multiplying your life through me and revealing your glory. You're amazing, God. And that little devil's going, don't slap me, boss. I told them what you told me, and they're more in love with Jesus than 10 minutes ago. I think this isn't working. I think we probably should flee. Well, if they're really obeying God and believing the Word, it's a rare thing. Most Christians won't do that, but it is in the Word. So I'll tell you what, let's just pull out and look for an opportune time. Ho, 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 ho. You know what he's used to? He's used to us going to church, getting happy, singing wild, and believing every lie he passes by. He's used to being discouraged on Tuesday, hurt and frustrated on Thursday, judged on Friday, condemned by Saturday. Then you come to church, it takes you a while to liven up because you ain't so sure where you stand. He's used to that stuff. He's not really impressed with you going to church. He's impressed when you believe that book. Take it literal and personal and allow the power of it to transform your life. You following me? Come on, guys. Did you get something out of that? We're going to cast down arguments. Every high thing. It's a high thing. It's a lofty, proud thing. It exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So the weapon of our warfare is mighty, and it brings every... Why are you taking so much ownership of every thought when the thought defiles you? Stop getting defiled. Thank God your heart's changed. Your heart's alive. And he's purified you and cleansed you of your desire for sin. And God, I thank you. You've made my mind clear and you've purified my heart. And I'm so in love with you. Thank you for raising me up in strength, raising me up in truth. When that devil talks to you and that thing flashes back, don't you call a friend for prayer and don't you believe it for a second. And don't you get so analytical that you don't know whether you're coming or going, because that can't be the Lord either. You talk to him immediately and honor him for what he accomplished through his son. And you build a stronghold in the Lord. You follow me? So we're going to cast down every thought. acknowledges of bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, the reason that we talk about this kind of stuff, 90 days, power and love and stuff, man, if you don't get this stuff in your life and live out of the strength of this, you'll just try to touch people and get testimonies to feel spiritual, feel affirmed, and feel accepted. You'll get caught in works and obligatory stuff, or you won't even step into that because you won't feel worthy, and now you're double condemned because everybody else is doing it. And all of a sudden, you can realize what your mindset is producing, that you're way off course. Come on, if you're not encouraged, you ain't thinking clear. I'm being straight, man. If you're discouraged in your life, it's because you're taking life personal and seeing more how it's affecting you personally instead of your response in Christ and how you're to respond. You're just looking at how it affects you, and now all you're doing is praying to God for help instead of ministering and manifesting Him in the face of it. Come on! But somehow we've taught the impression that it's just about God making everything work right for us. There's going to be all kinds of stuff going on in your life. Don't speak that over me, brother. I ain't. The Bible says it. It says the storm's coming to the wise and foolish. Not because they opened a door. It's coming. In fact, Mark 4 says it's coming for the Word's sake because he is freaked out and afraid of the Word. It says that when the sower sows the Word, Satan comes immediately to steal that thing. Why? He's afraid of the Word. He ain't afraid of you at all. And you have to realize that these trials and these adversities and these challenges are not directed at you personally. They're because of the kingdom. And if you ain't thinking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you're going to take adversity personal, feel sorry for yourself, wonder why God's letting all these things happen to you, put a veil over your face, retract from intimacy, and get confused and deceived. Come on! You're not a threat to Him apart from the Word. You don't have a chance. You don't have a standing chance without the Word of God against the devil. The devil ain't worried about you. He's worried about the Word of God in you and the potential of Christ in you. This is a battle against the devil and the kingdom of God. And you get to fight as an army on behalf of the King. Love not your life unto death and you become like Him. That's how you win. Not pleading the blood and quoting your testimony. You love not your own life unto death, and that makes you untouchable. Because you just ain't afraid. And it ain't about you, and you can't be discouraged anymore. Come on, guys. You love not your own life unto... Day and night, he accused them before their God. Well, they ain't sincere. Well, they ain't making no difference. Well, they ain't worthy. Well, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Day and night trying to fault find and point out weakness. They overcame him through the blood of the Lamb that qualified them. Through the word of their testimony that transformed them. And then they stepped into the most important that makes those two work in our lives. They love not their own life unto death. How do you touch that? How do you have power over that? Come on, when you get in that place, that's a powerful place. That's an untouchable place. Because you're done with fear, friend. And I'll tell you what, when you don't fear, you have amazing authority. You have no authority over what you fear. You reduce that Bible to principles you're praying, hoping for help, because you're afraid. Instead of that Bible leading you to a relationship of love, and faith works through love. And you're rooted and grounded in it, and it's never in question. The love of God is never questioned through circumstances because it's already settled through the cross. How many people have said, well, I thought God loved me. Well, if God loved me, why is all these bad things happening all in the same week? Your circumstances don't define the love of God. Christ crucified is the measuring stick of God's love. And if you keep letting life define God's love, you will never get established in it, rooted and grounded in it, and faith won't work through it. You'll just be a person in despair, and you'll reduce this book to principles, a magic lamp or something. And now we have so much knowledge without revelation that our knowledge is even condemning us because we know all the right things to say, and yet nothing's changing. Who's ever been there? And then you question and you backpedal and you second guess and you get really in trouble. Come on. Yeah. I'm about ready to. Yeah. God, you're good to me. You're good to us, huh? Now listen, guys. I talked a lot last night about what Christianity was meant to be. You got to understand the intent of God when He sent His Son. The intent of God was not just to forgive your sins and make a way for heaven. The intent of God was to remove the lie so the truth could prevail. Get the old off of us so the new could shine. Get your mind renewed and thinking like Him. He did not come to bless you, to just give you prosperity and give you your breakthrough in the moment you think you need it, and to make sure you go to heaven when the trumpet blows. He came to get you back to your potential destiny and created value. Get the lie off of you, get Adam off of you, and get Christ in you. Come on. I preach this everywhere I go, that the cross of Christ is not fulfilled and paid in full when a man prays a prayer to go to heaven. The cross of Christ is paid in full when a man's nature is restored back to love. That's the payday for God. That's when the inheritance, God's, His inheritance in the saints is paid in full. It's His inheritance in us. It's Christ reproduced in us. One son for many sons. Each seed falls to the ground and reproduces after its own kind. Christ Jesus was the seed that fell to the ground, sprang up, and bore much fruit. We're that fruit. We're the payday of God. We're the dividends that came through the investment of the blood of His Son. We're what He has to report on His IRS income tax return. We're the fruit. Do you get it? It's not confessing Christians. It's Christ-like people. It's not people that go to church. It's people transformed. He didn't say, go make disciples. He said, or go make Christians. He said, go make disciples. He didn't say, go make confessing Christians. He said, go make disciples. And in John 8, He defined a disciple. If you continue in My word, you're My disciple indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What's a disciple mean? A wholehearted follower, a disciplined learner. I'm a wholehearted follower. I'm not in this for blessings. See, let me just say this real clear. I never became a Christian for me. I became a Christian for His namesake, to step into the reason He created me. The reason He allowed me to be conceived. The reason that I'm on the earth and life is in me, I want to fulfill that. I'm a Christian, so that's fulfilled. That way, I'll love God and fulfill God's will and love you, because it's all about Him loving you. So watch what happened to me now over the years. It's so awesome. I wake up in the morning and I understand why I'm alive every day. I'm alive to not to need you. I'm alive to love you. Because if I'm alive to need you, you just might disappoint me, fail me, and not meet my need. Now I have issues and I have a reason to be mad at you, and I'm a little ticked off, and I might just call a friend and just tell him how messed up you are. And all of a sudden, we just have another talk show. Instead of lives transformed. Come on, I'm being real. We're laughing our way through, but it's really serious. Come on. I'm not waking up for what God can do for me. A lot of Christians do that. They use all their faith for more green lights, better parking spaces, and deals at the register. Man, believe for favor, but stop spending all your faith on that stuff and then wondering where the favor is, and then seeing favor on your friend and then competing and trying to pray harder to get more blessings. Come on, why do we always need the front parking space anyway? It always weirds me out. Somebody has to walk. Why can't it be you now and then? See, the last are first and the first are last. If God ever has a parking lot in heaven just for kicks, some of you are in big trouble. You won't even see the glory of the throne. You will be parked so far back. There will be angel after angel just waving you with a glowing stick. And you'll be like, I've been driving for 1,000 years. Why? Because you were first all the time on the earth, though. Now you're last. Because the Bible says, don't think for your own interest, think for the interest of others. Don't consider your own interest, but also the interest of others. Right? It's Philippians 2. And it says, have the same mind in you. That was in King Jesus. Isn't that a good invitation? He's saying, guys, I'm going to introduce you to what made Jesus tick so you can step into that same motivation. What took Him to the cross? Ain't that awesome? what caused him to be born of a woman and actually put on flesh as God and fulfill what man failed so man could get restored back to what he was created to be. What a love. Sounds like a fairy tale, man. See, God loves you for your potential. God's not just some weird lover that he just has the ability to love you no matter where you've been and what you've done. He knows where you've been and what you've done isn't who you're created to be. You're deceived. You're blind. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do. But he knows who you are and he knows what you look like when he's inside of you and you're yielded. He believes that's worth dying for. He believes your potential is worth dying for. He believes your created value is worth the death of his son. He believes your potential is worth every drop of his blood and every blow to his head. Wow. So the gospel's not here to just expose your sin. It's here to remove your sin, to expose your value and show you you've been a house fit for a king ever since the beginning of time. And he paid the price to move back home. Yeah. And we're taught our whole lives that the cross is all about our sin. No, the cross is about your creative value, your destiny, and your potential. And he came to save that which was lost. What was lost? He said that, not who. Who was lost is the drunk in the back alley. That which was lost is the destiny and created value that man fell from when he sinned and it died and God resurrected it through the resurrection of Jesus. Yeah. And no preacher ever told me that. So Jesus did and he's a good preacher. That's who I am. He's a good preacher. Because he taught me that in the bedroom when I asked him the truth. I cried and clutched the Bible to my chest. And I said, the day after I got saved, I have to know you. I went to church, you know, till I was 20. You know my life, God, and you still came and called me out of darkness. You came. You're the one that initiated last night. You're amazing. You know something about me I don't understand. And this book is the truth, and I've got to know it. You've got to show it to me. Men are saying everything everywhere. But what are you saying? Speak to me in this room. And I camped in that room, Weston, for 5 weeks and barely came out except to slip into work and get right back home and get in the room. Why? Because I was in a season I could do that. My wife thought we were finished. She was on the run and I was just with Jesus. I would turn my clocks to the wall so I didn't even know what time it was because rationale talks you out of the room. I would close my bedroom door so that when I went back up, I could open it and say, here I am. It's just us. And after a few days of that, it was pretty awesome in the room. Such an awareness of him, such an overwhelming love, tears. And I would play Jesus, Friend Forever, on repeat for 2.5, 3 hours. What a friend I found, closer than a brother. And it would just play and play, and it would be like, Jesus. And I'd be like, sometimes I would just sit there, and he would just do something in me. Why? Because I'm there. Because I shut everything down and faith has me there. My mind isn't talking me out of there. I'm not occupied. I'm not consumed with technology. I'm not hurt by my wife. I'm seeking him. And if I'm seeking him, guess what? I'm finding him. If I'm drawing near to him, guess what? He's drawing near to me. He made the first move through Jesus. And then tapped my heart through Holy Spirit and said, your move. And I said, okay. And I dove into him, believing that he would receive me. Going in boldly every day and shutting the door, unveiled, I'm his. You get it? Boy, that sure beats condemnation. That sure beats second guessing. That sure beats fear and worry and believing the lies of the devil. Because if there's something keeping you from that place, you're the only one that can. You're the only one that can keep you from there. I promise you, you'll find out one day, you're the only one that can stop relationship with him because it's why you're on the planet and he won't let anything stop you but you because he's not controlling you, he's wooing you. And you can say it's this and that and I feel blocked and I get alone and it doesn't feel real. Do you hear what he's saying? Feel, 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 feel. Why don't you go there and be with Him? And let your heart come alive. Why don't you go when you don't feel nothing and stop getting in the prayer line to feel fuzzy, wuzzy, lovey, dovey, feely. Because then you won't be okay unless you feel fuzzy, dovey, lovey, wuzzy, whatever I said, feely. Some lady came to me in a service and she says, I just want you to lay hands on me. I can see the love of God oozing out of you. I said, it's in me. It's probably oozing out. I'm a cup running over. Did you notice that I don't wear out? Did you notice that all afternoon? Do you know why? Nobody drinks out of my cup. I'm a cup overflowing. He's anointing my head. My cup runneth over. You're splashing in my saucer. Spirituality is measured by overflow. If you're drinking out of my cup, I'm going dry. And then I have a mountain valley theology. That's weird. He's in me. Huh? Isn't that awesome? Whoa! Are you glad you came? Do you know what? I just want to hug you. Please hug me. I just love you. There was something neat about when you walked in the house. Yes. So when I got saved, Holy Spirit showed me that I have nothing. Nothing. Unless I have love. So it's not just about supernatural. It's not about this is sick healed. It's not about me getting a word. It's not about me prophesying. Very dangerous to prophesy if you don't know who you are. Because your identity will wrap around prophesying. And then people will say, "Oh, brother, that was so anointed." And you'll go, "Really? Was it really powerful? Oh man, that was the Lord." It's just weird. It's a humble thing to prophesy. It's a humble thing to see the sick healed. It should make you get in your car and cry that you have this great destiny. That God Almighty would desire to live inside of you and flow through you who He is to touch others' lives. That ought to make us cry. But if you don't know who you are, it'll give you a false sense of something. And all of a sudden you're trying to find your identity through how God's using you instead of through who you've become. Come on. You're His workmanship. You're His workmanship. It's Ephesians 2, verse 10. You're His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. That you might walk, they were predestined beforehand that you might walk in them. So the good works were predestined before time that you might walk in them through His workmanship, His image. Becoming like Him, being in Christ, now the works flow. Guess what's first? The workmanship. Guess what's first? Created in Christ. You're not trying to do good works to affirm you're in Christ. You do good works because you're affirmed in Christ. And everything flows out of your being, not your doing, or your cup might go dry. Yeah, I'm preaching so good tonight, man. You getting this? Come on, guys. I'm getting born again. Every time I preach, I love Him more. It's you guys' fault that I'm this way because everybody lets me preach. And then I preach and just, ah! It's just so good. Because do you understand we're not serving a doctrine? We're invited into Him to know Him. To know Him. To know Him. God, reality changes everything. You have nothing to prove. You have something to be. You're not in defense. Are you kidding me? I'm so far past debate. How can you debate with me? Well, you know, brother, God doesn't stop. You're way late. You can curse me, degrade me. I'm not encouraging you to, but you can. It ain't going to change a thing. I'm going to lay on that bed that you all provided for me, Rick, tonight. I'm going to lay on that bed, and guess who's laying there with me and on me and all over me? He's there no matter what. Ain't nobody can stop it on the planet. Now what are you going to do about that? You say, we'll just have to kill him. Nope, ain't going to die. I'm still going to be with him. So take your best shot. You just can't touch this now. You get it? So identity is a big deal. Knowing him is huge. Learning all about him without pursuing knowing him is dangerous. Because what you learn about him starts judging your life and saying, well, where are you? Well, you heard all this. Well, you said under all this. Well, you preached all this. Or you heard all this. Or you quote all this. But what about your life? And now you're buying into this devil because he's introspecting your life and you ain't seeing what you should. And now you're questioning because, hey, I've been sitting under this. See, here's the biggest trap we run. Letting what God's preaching in this hour be the new language out there. This is not the new language out there. This is an introduction into knowing him and becoming more like him. This is all about relationship. This is not embracing a new language of sonship. This is about you being his son. This is about you being a peacemaker because the peacemakers are the sons of God. This isn't about you having issues and standing for your rights because you're a Christian and nobody should touch you that way because you're anointed. That's crazy. That's twisted. It's about you becoming like him. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, man. Knowing him is the biggest deal of your life, buddy. Because listen, at your age, and everybody's age, but especially at a young age, everything's vying for your attention and your heart and your identity. And everything's trying to tell you who you are and who you're not. And the only place you're going to find the truth about who you really are is in him because he's the truth, not a truth. You get it? So in Christ Jesus, you find the real you, man. So don't let anything distract you or change your mind. You game? You going to do that? I believe it. I'm going to believe God for that. Amen. So you keep running well, okay? Okay, I got you on the spot. Everybody's looking at you. I'm having fun with you. You guys all right?
Yeah.
That was my introduction. Just kidding. I said that last night. Now y'all are scared. People are going to get up and leave. It's 9:10. This is when I said I just started last night. It's exactly the same time. So now I can preach. I just said hi. You guys doing good? You guys all right? Let me teach you something real quick and we'll see what God wants to do tonight. Last night we prayed for the sick in a rushed kind of way. I did it at the end. I know it was late and people were leaving, but still God was doing neat things. And like Mike said, no, I felt like it was right. It was good. I wanted to. I just decided to. Some nights when it's a teaching night like that, there's some nights where we just learned how to do church and we think God saves everything for the end and all the ministries at the end, da, da, da. We're actually the church ministry. Church starts when you get here because you're the church. So the love starts when you walk in the door. So we're not here for a meeting. We're here to gather together, assemble ourselves together, and stir one another in love and good works. We're not here for what God can do for us. We're here for him to make us more like him. So let's just start somewhere. So the meeting starts every time. We teach at home that when you come to a gathering, the meeting starts when you walk in the door. Don't you just sit and wait for something to start. You're the meeting. Don't sit in the corner and wait to see if somebody loves you. Then you leave the church and say, I don't know about that river. They were all had their little cliques and they're out front talking, laughing. I sat there in the back the whole time. Ain't nobody even noticed I was there. That sure ain't a loving church. Don't you go and test the atmosphere. It should have been loving. You were there. See? See? We always think for ourselves if we're not careful. We just think it's about being loved instead of becoming loved. And then we are church shopping to see if it's loving. It ought to be loving the minute you walk in the door because that's why you're on the planet. Yeah.
You're not here to test other men's love. You're here to become like Jesus. You're not here to have some issue. You're here to have Him. Preaching good, ain't I, Charlie? Thanks, buddy. I see you cheering me on. I don't miss much. Thank you, man. Yeah. The meeting starts when you get here. I'm telling you what. We get onto this thing. We get over ourselves and get into Him. We ain't self-conscious. And we just notice and we see somebody. And we know they've been going through something. Or we see them hurting. And they ain't even asking. They look fine. You just go over and say, honey, listen. I was talking to Sandy. She told me that you guys was talking. And she said about this. And keep you in prayer. That you were hurting in this area. You're this, that. Man, I just want to love you and pray. And she said, well, I'm all right. I know you're all right. Because I know you're a believer, but I want to believe. And let's say that thing's coming out of you, and that pain, you start blessing, believing, restoration, wholeness. Man, when we had meetings back home for 2.5 years in places, I went around and did local meetings all around in a strategic setting, just a sphere of geographical influence. It was amazing. For 2.5 years, we met 4 times a week in different places. We had as many as 10 congregations, 12 congregations in a room. We had as many as 5, 6 pastors sometimes. Never took offerings, just preached the kingdom, stirred up things. But we taught these people that the meeting started when you got there. Don't you wait for something to officially start. It starts when you walk in the door because love is on the scene. So I say, you guys learn to love one another, take interest in one another, meet one another. Just don't hang out in the corner with the 3 friends you're comfortable with. Go find somebody you never met, never saw. Go talk to somebody that used to test you and try you and get over yourself so you can see them through Christ. Just be loving. Right? So here's what would happen. We created something because visitors would come. And some people are a little outspoken and they're proper. And I'm not being mean. I'm just saying they're taught like, hey, you say the meeting's at 7. You better start at 7. And if they come to the meeting and they're visiting, they already got an opinion about you because it's 5:10 after and you ain't started nothing and you said 7. There's people like that out there. They're thinking real by the book. Serious. Don't you go to church and just try to figure folks out. You go to church to hear God, to be like God, to be encouraged and be stirred up in love and good works. God forbid the highest grace you walk in is leaving the lot today and looking at your friends. They say, what'd you think of that guy? And all of a sudden you make yourself God. And the best you can do is share your opinion about me. And you ain't changed the world with that. And you sure ain't changed me. Well, I don't know. I'm glad you asked because I think he's a little. And I just, well, I don't know. He's probably, I mean, he's really, man, I don't know. Yay, okay. Now our lives are changed. Yeah. Isn't that good? So I'm in a meeting one night and we were in a fire hall. And it's 120 some people packed in there, man. I'm telling you, it's summertime and there ain't no air conditioner and it's a tin roof fire hall. You ever been in one of those? No air running? You used to go to that thing. Was that thing stuffy up there in the summertime? But people packed in there, didn't they? Sweat pouring off them folks, losing 5 pounds and I was the one preaching. They was just sweat. My shirt, how about my shirt? My shirt would get so wet it'd just stick to me. It was 5-10 degrees on a lot of nights in the building. And we had 123 people in there singing and worshiping Jesus. And then I would preach like a madman. I know you can't picture that, but I would. I would preach. And it was funny because ain't nobody sitting there complaining about the heat. They was hungry for God. They were getting truth. They didn't care what price they had to pay. They were like, man, who cares? If we live in another country, we ain't going to be Americanized. We're hungry for God. We're going after God. It ain't about inconvenience. We want God. And they packed in that place, man. And this one night, this lady came up to me, and it was uncomfortable to her because she ain't running with us. This is her first night. She's visiting. She ain't got the vision yet. And she's wondering why she's in this stuffy fire hall to begin with. And she's wondering what's keeping her from leaving because it's too hot and she wished she didn't come, but somehow she's still there. And it was hilarious, man. It was past 7:30. A little bit past 7:30. It might not have been quite 20 of 8, but it was somewhere in that zone. And she came up to me and she wasn't out of order. She wasn't mean. She just said, excuse me, sir. Are you the authority of this meeting? Are you heading this meeting? And I'm over talking to somebody. And I said, excuse me? She said, what? She said, are you the authority of this meeting? I said, I guess you would say that. We pulled this thing together. I travel up from York and to Surrey. She said, well, it was my understanding that this thing started at 7. Was I misinformed? I said, no, you were told correctly. I said, it did start at 7. She said, what are you talking about? Nothing happened yet. I said, I've been waiting and waiting. I told my friend, I don't know, if something don't get going soon, we're just leaving because I don't even know what's going on. It's like they ain't even having no meeting. I said, honey, what do you mean nothing happened yet? I said, look over there. Look over there. Look at that. It was so beautiful. There's 5 people over here just crying, weeping, praying over somebody. There's somebody over here checking their body and laughing and jumping them down. It was that beautiful when you looked around the room. And I said, honey, I'm sorry, you're visiting, aren't you? This is my first time here. I said, well, I hope you come back and understand that we teach our people the meeting starts when you get here. And this is a vision come true. This is a pastor's dream come true. I dare not touch this for a while. I was going to let this thing happen. Because if you look around, we have in church. People are growing in the confidence of who they are in Christ. Wasn't Fritzstown awesome, Tricia? Wasn't people just flowing and loving each other and just capturing the moment, huh? This is a dear friend. She lived down my way and moved up here and haven't seen her forever. And she met pastor's daughter today. That's her. And found out I was in town because she bumped into your daughter. And Trish, stand up and just wave, man. Let everybody see who you are. She moved up this way. And she said, oh, my favorite pastor's in town. She said, River of Life, where's that? She said, that's the church my dad pastors. She said, oh, my God. So here's my friend Trish. Haven't seen for a long time. And Trish was a part of most of all those meetings. She would come with us. She was there at a lot of those meetings. She was at other ones, actually, in the area. But that one was where the lady walked up to me and said, when's this meeting started? And I had her look around, and she caught it, man. She got real humbled. Tears kind of filled her eyes, and she thought, wow, this is beautiful. I didn't see. I wasn't seeing what I didn't see. I said, it's all right. When you see, you can become. We're here to give understanding. I said, now you put yourself in my shoes, honey. How do you step in and stop something so beautiful? Man, people are walking in confidence. Come on. We're not just always called to sit and listen to the person that we feel is gifted. We're called to be reproduced after that gift and walk in the grace that we perceive. And if we're understanding as leaders, we'll give an opportunity for that to happen. There's a place for what we're doing right now. But we'll give place for being the church. And every time you gather together, that's when the meeting starts. That's when you take interest in one another, lay down your life for one another, get personal with one another, bless one another, and get involved with one another. And watch how God moves among us, encourages and builds up your heart in the release of Him, the expression of Him, the way you convey Him. And all of a sudden, you see something so beautiful through your life in God for somebody that when you're at work or you're in the mall, that thing reminds you and you see something similar. And all of a sudden, you're like, whoa, man, I'm going to step into that. And all of a sudden, this 90-day thing is not an obligatory evangelistic venture. It's who you're becoming, and it's just who you are, and it can't help but to flow because it's a river. Amen. And it might feel like a trickle to you, but I'm telling you, the farther it flows, the bigger it grows. Read your Bible. Yeah? See, I was in a service a couple weeks ago and some tumors disappeared. And this lady said, I have a golf ball size tumor on my pelvis. And she had the lady feel it. And she went, oh. And it was just growing out on her flesh, just hanging there like a glob of golf ball size. And she touched it and said, oh, wow. She said, let's pray. So I let them in that little 20-second prayer thing. We just prayed. And they're praying. But she didn't keep her hand on it. She took her hands and they prayed. And then I said, now check your bodies, etc. So the girl goes, starts freaking out because it ain't there at all. So the girl that prayed for her said, what? She said, it's not there. She said, really? She stuck her hand in there. You didn't know which one had the tumor. She said, "Whoa!" They're both manifesting. Why? Because it was impacting for both of them. Because this lady's going, God's in me. God will flow through me. I'm anointed. This stuff can happen when I pray. God is such a cheerleader, man. He's like, bzz.
So now what happens? I'm telling you, this thing gets in her mind. This thing's in her memory. She goes to work. I'm telling you, this stuff isn't coincidence. It's strategy. It's heaven. She goes to work, or she's in at a table eating lunch with some girlfriends, and the next thing you know, somebody just found a lump behind their ear, or I'm getting the check out because I have something growing on my neck, and all of a sudden, guess what's going on in her? She's back in that room. And she's going, and it might even be some fear and trembling. Might even be a little apprehension. Because it ain't as comfortable, and pastor ain't leading the thing. She's just out in the middle of nowhere. But the thing is now, she's somewhere. Oh, she's on a journey. And all of a sudden, she musters up the energy and the strength to get past herself and her feelings and her pumping heart. And she says, listen to me, girls. I don't know how you're going to take this, but man, this has been freaking me out for the last 2 weeks. I was in a church service the other week, and the pastor gave us a chance to pray for people, and we prayed for a lady who had a golf-sized growth on her pelvis, and man, it disappeared when I prayed, and I was overwhelmed. I cried as hard as her. And when you said that that thing was growing, my heart started thumping, because I thought, you know what? He's the same love, the same God, the same finished work, and He loves you the same. He's amazing. It's the same truth and the same kingdom in me. I'm thinking we probably all just pray, and let's just let God be. And all of a sudden, her friend's like, well, man, you really seem serious. You actually saw a tumor disappear? Because I've been worried about this. And all of a sudden, she's the preacher. Don't you worry. I'm telling you, God, in Jesus' name. That's how it works. You say, well, wonder if we pray and it doesn't go away. Then I'm discouraged and I failed and I turn my tail and run and say, well, I ain't never praying for anybody else again because I sure look foolish. That's deception. You lay hands on the sick and you believe. And if you don't see that thing disappear, you say, listen, I'm so glad you let me touch you and pray. I'm so excited about the possibilities of God's power. He told me in His Word in Mark that if I lay my hands on the sick, they recover. Thanks for the honor of letting me into your space and believing for your situation. I'm expecting amazing things. Jesus really loves you. You turn and walk away and they're standing there going, man, you can't fight that. There ain't no string attached. There ain't no false motive. They ain't merchandising my soul. They ain't nothing. They care about me. I could tell they cared about me. And all of a sudden, what you did is you just released the kingdom, and love never fails. You say, well, wonder if nothing happens. Well, if you don't approach them, you're guaranteed that.
Oops.
I've had so much fun in my life. I was going through to buy a pack of underwear or socks or something. I don't go in the stores that much. My wife's amazing. She pampers me. But for some reason, I wanted to get a specific thing. And she said, maybe you ought to just pick it up so you get the right thing. And I went in there and I see a little girl and she's really not even getting by. And she's got crutches and she's learning how to walk on them. And she ain't putting nothing on that foot. And she's young. She's 12, something like that. And I run over to her parents. I could see her parents standing there and a little young son, her little brother. He's probably 8. And I said, hey, guys, is that your little girl that just went in the dressing room? Yeah. And I said, listen, man, what'd she do? They said, oh, she broke her foot. She just broke it. She can't walk on it. It's really broke bad. And da-da-da. And I said, listen, man, I saw her and it came on my heart, but I didn't want to just approach her without talking to you as parents and honoring you guys. I was really hoping that you'd let me pray. Now, I don't know if she'll let me, but I want to at least get your permission. Then I'll see how she feels. And the dad turned and just walked away. Now, that doesn't mean I did anything wrong. And see, we get so intimidated by that stuff. It's just a reflection of where he's at or where he's not. It has nothing to do with me, my approach, my line, debriefing, changing my... That's weird. Go ahead and be a Christian robot if you want, but that'll break down someday or run out of batteries. I'm not a Christian robot. I'm a man of God. I'm sincere. So I looked at Mom and I said, wow. I said, obviously he has some thoughts about God or something going on, ma'am. I'm not here to disrupt and I'm not here to frustrate. I'm here to bless your girl. Do you understand? If God heals her foot, that would be an amazing day, huh? It's just about praying for her and believing. I said, I say this a lot to people. It's not a line, but it comes out of me a lot. Listen, man, I used to go to church for a long time and think Christianity was church attendance. Jesus is teaching me it's loving people. Would you be okay if I love your daughter in prayer? She didn't say yes or no, so I took it as a yes. So... Hey, if she didn't say no. So the little girl came out, and she's just, the mom's just standing there, and she's kind of acting like I'm not there. And I said, I'm going to talk to your girl, okay?
And she didn't look up. I said, okay, bless you, thanks. So I just walked right over. I said, hey, honey. Wow, I said, you look nice in that thing. She just tried on. She's laughing like, who are you? I said, listen. I was just talking to Mama. I know you saw me talking to Mama. I said, I actually don't know your mom. I haven't been a friend of the family or anything. But I noticed you're on these crutches. And I asked your parents if they would mind. If I pray for you, I just was excited about Jesus healing your foot and fixing your bones because I know it hurts you. She said, it really hurts. She said, you want to pray for me? I said, I'm actually believing when I pray. It's not a good gesture, honey. I'm believing when I pray that God would come and actually heal your bones in your foot and that you'd be able to tell it's healed. I said, wouldn't that be like awesome? Yeah. She said, that would be freaky. That would be like, yeah. She's like being a 12-year-old. And I'm like, yeah. I said, so I asked your parents and they didn't say no. So I said, do you mind? I said, the key is, do you mind if I pray for your foot? She said, 12 years old. No, that would be fine. I said, oh, awesome. I just knelt right down. That wrecks people when you kneel down like that. She knelt down. I knelt down in an alley for a lady who had plantar fasciitis. She was walking down the street like this. And she turned in an alley, and I whipped into the alley and parked in front of her and jumped out of my truck, and she looked. I said, it's okay, ma'am. I'm way back here. I'm not up to anything strange. You are really in pain. What's wrong with your feet, sweetie? She said, oh, it's plantar fasciitis. I'm just trying to get back to work on lunch, and today is just a bad day. And I said, well, listen, I saw you were hurting. I was pulling by. I have a little bit of time, not much, but I whipped in here. Man, I was hoping we could pray, that I could pray that God could come and make something change in your feet. And she said, you pulled off the road into the alley to pray for me? And I said, honey, don't make that radical. That's not radical. I said, let me tell you radical. An innocent man hung on a cross and died so I could do what I'm doing. That's radical. This is normal. We think me parking to pray for the sick is radical Christianity. Are you kidding me? It's just the obvious response to radical. What is the big deal about me parking in an alley to pray for her feet? Why is that? Wow. No, an innocent Jesus hanging on the cross becoming sin so I could become righteous and be empowered to help that lady? That's radical. That's going to make me park. This is the most beautiful. It would have made a beautiful movie, man. She's crying and she's saying, I can't believe you stopped just to pray for me. And I said, honey, are you kidding? I believe with all my heart Jesus shed his blood for all people. I believe that by his stripes we're healed and I'm growing in something. How could I just drive by you if I have the time to stop for you if Jesus loves you and I've learned that? Are you kidding me, girl? Stop crying and rejoice because God is going to do something awesome. And I knelt down and she went, oh my gosh. She's like, this man is kneeling in the alley, in the gravel alley. He's kneeling at my feet to pray for my feet. And she was overwhelmed and humbled. And I like that. I want her in that place. So I just, Father, I just thank you right now for your love for this woman. Plantar fasciitis, you leave. You come out of her feet in Jesus' name. I backed her. I said, sweetheart, I need you to walk. Push on your feet. It'll be easy. Check. Easy. She said, oh my God, you started praying. It just left. It just left. I said, well, push on your feet. Stomp your feet. Walk. She said, ah. I said, honey, this is the gospel. This is New Testament kingdom living. Jesus said, whatever your city you're in, I was in a place way out in Ohio, somewhere way out in Ohio, and like 8 hours from my house. And I said, honey, I'm from York, PA. I'm probably 8 hours away from here. But Jesus said, whatever city you're in, heal the sick there and tell them the kingdom's here. And you might say, where is the kingdom? You're looking at it. It's inside of me. Yahoo! Did you get it? Now you ain't going to do that if you have insecurity, identity crisis, and you struggling with the love of God. Amen. And now instead of being a mighty minister in the Holy Ghost, you just need ministry. I'm not condemning you. I'm telling you, some of us has been in this thing long enough, and we got to stop being our own worst enemy. And we got to stop talking around truth and let truth have its way in us. And we got to say, you know what? I am qualified because of the blood. I am accepted because of the blood. I am righteous because of the blood. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm not rejected. It's impossible for a man to reject me. I'm accepted in Him. My days of condemnation are over. I'm righteous, and I'm presenting myself every day as an instrument unto righteousness. Do you get it? Okay, I'm getting back there, man. You haven't heard me preach much, have you? I tie every knot, buddy. We don't miss nothing, man. But thanks, man. We'll go back to the girl. You're awesome, dude. Listen, we can get 3 stories, 4 stories. We can get 5 stories within stories, and everyone's getting tied up. Because you just know where you're at in Him, but you don't have a clue without Him. You're like confused and lost. And people are like, duh, where's He at? That was a story within a story. Prayed for the girl, knelt down. Freaks people out when you kneel down. You want to hear another story quick and I'll finish the girl? It's rare that I intentionally just go out to pray for people. I do it as I go. It's rare that I just intentionally just go. It's not wrong. It's just rare I do. My life's different and it's rare. But one day I just took a walk and God said, walk the town and just love people. So I had so much fun, man. I walked by this guy on the porch in the city. This precious black guy sitting there. And I walked by him and I said, hey, man, what's up? He says, what you got to do with me, man? It's just what he said. He said, what you got to do with me, man? He's like, get out of my face. I said, you kidding me, buddy? He said, man, get out of my face, man. I said, I'm not in your face. I'm going to stand back here. But you got a problem in your hip and in your leg. And I don't know what happened to you, but you had an accident, man. And you're not right in your hips and body. This lady pops out the door. It's the city. I'm not being mean. You don't know how many folks just all of a sudden popping out of houses. It's people everywhere, man. I got this lady just pops out of the house. And then another lady. And then a lady out the window. All of a sudden I got people on the porch. And guess what they're doing? This lady goes. She said whatever his name was. She said, man, you got to knock it off. Why are you treating that man that way? He just told you your stuff. She said, sir, he got everything you just said. I said, oh, I know, honey. This ain't my first time hearing this stuff. I said, I know exactly what's going on. I said, it was an accident. And it was many years ago. And it's messed up your hip. And he's like, man, get away, man. She said, but why are you acting like a fool? She said, this man's going to walk by and tell you your stuff. And you're going to blow him off. And it's God knocking on your door. That's what she said. This stuff is like fairy tale stuff, man. So you're like, I said, listen, man, I just want to pray for you. I'm not here to offend you. And I know you got issues. And I know years passed. And we could date back in history of this town of all kind of racial unsettlement. But buddy, man, let's get out of that, man. That ain't me. I had nothing to do with it. And it don't matter nothing about nothing except that I love you. And let's move forward in truth, man. Let's get over yesterday. Let's stop letting yesterday define today so we can't have a relationship. That's crazy. Right? And you say, yeah, but the history is this and that. Yeah, but we weren't that history. Why do we have to keep playing out what we wish wasn't? Come on. Let's be the ones that change that thing. So I said, listen, man, I just need to pray for you. He said, no, man, you ain't praying for me. Leave. And now I got 5 or 6 cheerleaders on the porch. They're on the man big time. Come on. Them girls get on you, man, if you wasn't going with the flow, wouldn't they? I said, boy, you better get with it. They're going to slap you down, man. They was on him. Why are you acting like this? You need to let that man. That's a nice man. And I'm like, that's a nice man. And they all cheering him on. And he says, now watch this guy. He goes, I said, so what's up, man? I'm not doing it against your will. Not that I couldn't, but would you let me pray for you? He said, go ahead, man. Just go ahead, man. Get it done. Get it done. Go ahead. No, there ain't a whole lot of faith in that. But if you don't understand the gospel, you're going to let what he doesn't see determine what you do see. And you're going to feel like God can't move, but the sign follows the believer, not the man deceived. That man has no power to stop nothing unless I look too much at him and let what he doesn't see define me. Christ in me is the answer for that man, not his attitude or deception. You guys with me? Yeah. We're taught that unbelief can stop the power of God. Try to tell Jesus that. Amen. Now, you ain't going to sell Jesus that. It just works for us because it's been our experience. We think. And because we believe it, we put a ceiling over the release of the kingdom of God and we limit the release of His power. So we have to write books, 30 reasons why men aren't healed, when we have the one that they are. And the reason we have the manual in our back pocket is because we're trying to explain away our experience, make ourselves feel better about what we feel bad about, but it's at the cost of truth, and truth makes us free. Jesus didn't have the manual because it wasn't His experience, so He didn't have to write the book. So we're probably following Him, not our experiences. And as much as we honor one another, we're following Him. So I reached down, I knelt down, and I prayed gently for this man and put my hand on the sides of his knees and just took a faith risk and just touched his legs, hoping he'd be all right with it. The worst he could do is kill me, and he didn't. So you just see, even if he kills me, he didn't. So I got nothing to lose. I'm in a win-win, baby. Either Jesus is going to move or He's going to send me to Him. So you pray for him and you're real confident and you're real excited and you say, all right, man, I want you to get up. I want you to walk and check your body out. He gets up and, man, it was bad. It was bad. And I went, man. And he walked out and he turned and I said, man, I said, is that how you always are? Is that how it always is? They said, that's how he's been walking since he got hit by a car. That's why I was so freaked out when you said he had accident, because he got hit by a car when he was a boy and it ain't never fixed. Nobody had the money to get him help and he just healed up and he's like that ever since he was 10. He got hit by a car and they're telling me the story. And I said, no. I said, so you don't feel no change? He went, oh, man. And I just started to cry. And I said, man, that ain't happening, man. Jesus loves you, dude. And I crawled in like this and I could feel him break. When I knelt in front of him, he lost it. I could tell. And I said, you be healed. I'm crying for him. I can't help it. I'm not making myself cry. It's Christ in me. I don't have a choice. He loves that man. Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. He has no ability to agitate me, frustrate me, or make me insecure. He needs the kingdom of God he doesn't see. It's not about me saying, well, he needs to change his attitude and maybe he can be healed. No, you need to get over you so you can look at him like Jesus sees him. Well, I don't know. I don't think God will touch him with a 10-foot pole. No, you wouldn't. God's been trying to reach him through you, but you ain't getting it. So you cry and you grab his ankles and you say, Jesus, thank you. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be made whole. And you're crying and he's humbled. For maybe the first time in his life, he's broken inside. And he's face to face with unquestionable, undeniable love. Yeah. I looked at him with tears pouring down my face. I said, turn and check yourself and walk. He goes, I said, come here, man. We just held each other. And he walked completely normal. So this lady is sitting there in a chair. I got 5 or 6 people on the porch. She starts crying. She says, that's amazing. I said, it's Jesus. And everybody's looking. And they said, you got to pray for her. I said, what's wrong? She said, I have so much arthritis in my body. I can't hardly move my limbs anymore. I said, can you lift your arms? She said, I can't even lift my arms. She said, I can barely drink anymore. That's why I have the straw. And I said, you're kidding me. She said, no. I said, in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you. Yeah. I said, lift your arms. She goes, ah! Now watch. The 5 or 6 people. Ah! Now watch. One on the porch said, you know what I think? I think God has showed up today and He's saying, let's get past ourselves and give our lives to Him and let's turn to Him. He loves us. And I said, you're getting it, girl. Who's in? Who's ready to pray? Who's ready to get saved? We had church right there. Woo! Boom, 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 boom.
powerful, fun, beautiful stuff. Don't expect the media to put that on the news.
Well, why don't they put that on? Stop it!
Why don't we all just live that way, in such a way that ain't nobody after a while can deny what God's doing? And all of a sudden, somebody's going to have to repent or be extremely lost. Give them no choice. It's like the man that used to come in on the wheelchair to the Tom's Market on kidney dialysis, full dialysis because of diabetes for years. And they know him as the diabetic sick man on the wheelchair with dialysis appointments all the time. Now he walks into the Tom's on no dialysis, with working kidneys, total blood sugars, total insulins, pancreatic function, and no diabetes. And the whole neighborhood is in an uproar because he's changed.
Amen. You say, well, why didn't the media get a hold of that?
That ain't what they're thinking. If he was healed through hypnotism, it'd be on the news. You have to understand what's going on the earth. If he was healed through some medium chant, it would be a reality show. The world being in the sway of the wicked one, the god of this world, blinding the eyes of those who don't believe, at least they see this glorious gospel in the face of the Son.
Yeah.
Watch. You touch the one. You love the one. You have an impact because the people that are around that can't help but get touched by that. So let's stop getting analytical and talking ourselves out and wondering where the impact and why ain't everybody and why don't they broadcast this? Look, they put it on the news and 90% of the viewers anyway that don't know Jesus are going to say, well, that ain't real. That ain't true. Well, I didn't see them before they were prayed for. Well, you say, well, let's get documentation and let's get their x-rays. Well, how do I know that was their x-ray? How do I know that's even so? Their name's on the bottom. How do I know that's actually their bones? See, here's what I've learned. We get trapped trying to document everything when we could just go live sincere and run people's hearts over with the love of God. Because here's the deal. There is no explanation good enough for unbelief. And faith doesn't need one. Come on. So watch. The more people we touch and love and express the kingdom to, the more people get touched by that sphere of influence because the more people know the people that get touched. And all of a sudden, they become the best witness and the best testimony. And you ain't out promoting all the things God's doing through you. They're talking of His love, power, and glory. Did you ever hear Jesus walking around talking about all the miracles He's done? All the people. He left the people talk because that's the best promotion because that's when it's real. You're not bearing witness of yourself. You're not putting on the internet how God's using this ministry and all the miracles through this ministry. Make sure you partner with this ministry because God's doing this through this ministry. Next thing you know, we think it's the ministry and when we're hurting, we got to call that number because that's where it's happening. That can get really weird. You're leading people to Jesus, not dependence on Jesus in you. You're leading people to relationship, communion, and intimacy. Are you guys good tonight? I'm like all over the map. I didn't touch what I wanted to. I guess we got tomorrow. What's service time tomorrow, man? Till? No, no. Till like noonish? Noonish? Come on now, you zealots. Stop it. Stop it. Actually, I got to get home tomorrow. I got to get on the road because I'm getting home. I'm going to pack my stuff and we're getting up about 4:30 in the morning to head to the airport. My wife and I were going away for 16 days. So we're going to hang out together. It'll be cool. My son's going with us. It'll be awesome. So we're going to visit some family out in Montana. We'll be away for a while. And that's why I didn't have nothing scheduled this week because I was going to stay home and just kind of prepare, get sense. And I felt like it was right to come here. I did. I felt like it was right to come here. So it didn't feel like too much in a press. And, I got to drive the whole way up to Connecticut and then come home and go on vacation.
Yeah. That would feel so weird to think like that.
Do you know that I've been traveling for about 8 years and preaching the gospel, traveling and getting invited to places, and not one time could I even possibly relate, not one time on one weekend, oh man, I got to travel this weekend, oh, I got to catch a plane and go. That would be weird. If I would even think that and feel that, I would never get on a plane. Can you tell this isn't a job? Can you tell this isn't a sacrifice? It's so funny because everybody thanks me all the time. And I'm like, for what? I'm having the time of my life. And I'm like, thank you for letting me come. That's what I tell people. And they're like, no, but thank you. For what? I haven't sacrificed a thing. You say, well, you sat in all that traffic. Man, I had communion with the Lord and we made it. And it was all right. And I learned a lesson. You don't drive 95. So you learn from your mistakes and you grow wise as you go. So it took me to 52 years old to realize you just don't drive 95. Unless you're super hyper anointed and can split the traffic in the anointing. Or translate. Wouldn't that have been awesome? If I just closed my eyes, worshiped Jesus, and woke up in the driveway of 26 Anderson Drive. That would have been awesome. I'd be like, God, wow. I'm going to wrap up with this. Listen, I'm going to try. I am. It's late. We don't have to keep going. Listen, you will never grow close to knowing Him and communing with Him like I'm talking if you don't settle on how He sees you through His Son. If you don't settle on His view towards you, you'll assume your own view and it'll keep you from Him and veil you when you're to be unveiled. You're a bride. Come on. Look, while you were yet sinners, He sent His Son. You say, yeah, but brother, you don't understand. I mean, I knew better after I got saved and I still did some things. And it's just, I just don't know. My heart's so in question because I know better. And then because you think the tree's bad and you keep talking about what you did wrong instead of realizing the thing you did is bothering you maybe for the first time in your life. And you ought to rejoice in the fact that you see clear. And even though you slipped, you ought to run to Him and say, God, I need no excuses to slip. I realize that ain't who I am. That ain't who I'm created to be. And you're making me wiser and sharper and empower me. And God, I thank you. You have made this tree good. I'm right in your sight. You've washed me. You've cleansed me. You've purified me. God, thanks for putting light in me to show me the truth. And I care about the truth. And I care about my expression in my life. So God, thank you for washing me and making me whole. You say you would pray like that if you fell or showed yourself in weakness. What else would you do? Get condemned? Lose your identity for 3 weeks, 3 months, or a year? Come on, guys. Because here's the deal. If you make a tree good, fruit's a guarantee. If you think the tree is identified by your actions, then the tree's never rightly identified and your actions are always the fruit. But if you think the tree's identified by His actions, now you made the tree good. And guess what the fruit follows? It's good. Look, an apple tree never produced an apple to prove to you it was. It produced an apple because it is an apple tree. In fact, it was an apple tree in the seed. Whoa. Man, that's deep. So make a tree good. What's that mean? Father, thank you that you love me. You knew me before I was known. You predestined my day. There's a time to be born and here I am. I'm the will of God. I'm not here just because a man went into a woman one day. I'm here because you saw me before I was ever seen. My life is your will. I'm the yes and amen of your will. And I thank you, God, for the value of my life, the destiny of my life, the privilege of my life. And God, I thank you through Jesus Christ. You prove that I have greater value than I ever understood. I realize this isn't about me. It's all about you in me, and I yield myself to you. God, thank you that you see me completely clean as if I've never eaten that tree. You have washed me and cleansed me and restored me and redeemed me and made all things new. Thank you for life through Jesus Christ. Guess what I just did? I just made the tree good. I just presented my members unto righteousness for its fruit unto holiness. All of a sudden, I'm not trying to live holy. I'm right with God, and its effect is holiness. I just made the tree good through faith, through the finished work. I identified myself through what he went through, not what I'm going through. And all of a sudden, my tree's good. And guess what my fruit has to be? So if I believe I'm a son, I'll live like one. If I believe I'm righteous, I'll bear the fruit of righteousness. If I believe I'm accepted, I'll live secure and confident. But if I'm trying to produce those things, I'm fighting a battle he already won. See, you have to start where he finished or you'll never run well. Make a tree good. And guess what the fruit will be? You have to get alone with God and take that veil off and recognize that you were created for destiny, that you're a house fit for a king. You're prime real estate. He paid the highest price to live inside of you and obtain you. And you just surrender to him and thank you that he purchased you with a great price and you are not for sale. You are consumed by his love. There's no vacancy in your life. He's the fulfillment of all things. God, you love me. I've learned that Christians don't even think that way when they're alone, let alone talk that way to him. They just think about trouble, what's concerning them, what's fearing them, what don't look good, and then they pray from the problem and hope God answers. That's the extent of a lot of people's Christianity. And he has called you into his presence. He has called you into communion and union with Holy Spirit. He has called you to intimacy. Into me, you see.
Yeah? Man, I'm preaching so good, man. You see why it's hard to stop? It's just so good. And time just keeps ticking and we're like...
So don't you let anything keep you from him. Colossians 1 says that while you were an enemy through wicked works in your mind, that means your mind was contrary to truth. He's not just talking about adultery and pornography. He's talking about self-centered thinking, just thinking for the flesh. Just anything that's love in the world and the things of the world is enmity to God. So while you were an enemy to God by the way your mind worked, that's what made you an enemy to his plan and purpose. By the way your mind worked, it says, yet he now reconciled you through the death of his son. While you were an enemy, why? Because he doesn't see you as an enemy. He sees you with greater potential and he sees you as forgiven, Father. They don't know what they're doing. He sees you as misinformed, deceived, misunderstanding. And he says, man, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. If I shine a light, people will come out of darkness. If I live the truth, then people will see the lie broke. You see why Jesus came? To give us understanding, right? Isn't that awesome? Yet now he reconciled through the body of his flesh to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith and are not moved away from the hope in which you heard. Do you know what he's saying? The finished work of Jesus allows you to be unveiled and stand holy, blameless, and above reproach in the presence of God if you continue to believe it and don't let anything change your mind. Now watch, preachers are afraid to preach that because they think it's an easy grace, a cheap grace, a perversion of grace. It's salvation through grace. Watch, if I sincerely present myself holy and blameless and above reproach, guess what the fruit of my life's going to be? Holy, blameless, and above reproach. So we're afraid to preach the answer because we're deceived into thinking we're empowering people to stay the same and use a grace to stay the same. I haven't found a way to sin and get away with it. I found a way to be free from it. So I reckon myself dead indeed to sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. For the death he died to sin for all. To sin for all. The life he lives to God. Likewise, you reckon the same. Come on. If you die in the likeness of his death, surely you'll raise in the newness of life. If you die in the likeness of his death, surely you'll raise in the resurrection power of Christ. Come on, read your Bible. You were buried in baptism, in death, in baptism with Jesus, knowing this, that your old man was crucified with him. Yeah! It says, he who died is free from sin. It's in your Bible. Well, yeah, But we're always going to sin. That's the problem. You believe in that. You just thinking that and you selling cheap and thinking that your ability to sin is your identity as sin. And all of a sudden you don't even receive the grace. You don't even receive the grace to live a holy life and walk freer than you ever thought was possible. Because here's my question to you. What is possible by the grace of God? And what does the finished work of Christ empower man to be when he sets his faith on Him? What does a good tree's fruit look like? Does it look like sin or a good tree? What does your fruit unto holiness look like? Come on! But we are so saying, yeah, but brother, that feels blasphemous. We're not perfect. And we're not, see, you can't even hear the preaching of truth that's designed to set you free because you're so busy identifying yourself with your ability to fail. And you think it's a humble language. It's a deceived language. So if you're still talking about sin, you haven't reckoned yourself dead to sin. Come on! Watch! He bore your sin. This is 1 Peter chapter 2. He bore your sin, my sin, in His body on a tree. That we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. By His stripes we're healed. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Come on! What can't we hear? Listen, He did not curse His Son on the cross. His Son was made to be sin. God cursed sin in the flesh, and sin shall have no dominion over me, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free. He didn't curse His Son. He made His Son to be sin, and He that knew no sin was made to be sin so we could become right in the sight of God. So reckon yourself dead indeed to sin. Make the tree good and the fruit is guaranteed. Take off the veil and be His. You get it? Man, that's the gospel. And the only thing that can keep you from Him is you not believing the good news. There is not a devil in hell that has the authority or the power to keep you from His presence, because it's what you're created for. And stop believing it's possible. It's not possible that you're bound from His presence. You're believing lies, and it's keeping you at arm's reach. Yeah. So walk in the bedroom, close the door first if you have to, and then pop it open and slide in. And He's going to go, shoo. And you say, well, I went in my bedroom and did that and nothing happened. Yes, it did. You're exercising faith and you went in the room and met with Him. So you're one of two things. You're either out of your mind, wasting your time and need to get a life, or He's in there and you're growing into something. It's one of the two. You're either whacked and deceived and need to get a life, or you're on to something. I like those odds. Yeah. Because look at me, you can tell I'm not out of my mind. I'm just out of some of yours. Really? Some of you guys thinking is your worst enemy. And what you're believing is a detriment to you. That's why the joy of your salvation is not there. It's good tidings of great joy. The joy is the outcropping of understanding the good news. You're not trying to be joyful. It's an automatic response of seeing clear. It's good tidings of great joy. You can look at the average countenance of the average Christian and understand we don't understand the good tidings. Because we're letting everything else speak louder than truth, and all of a sudden we're doing no better than the things around us. Instead of the one in us. You guys good? So what do we do from here, man? What do you do now, Pastor? Help me. I'm not even sure what to do. Change the way we think. That's good, man. Thanks, man. I'm humbled. That's what I am. Didn't I ever finish that thing? I jumped off to that man on the porch, didn't I? And that thing got me so emotional and got me so messed up. That was a good story, though, man. Do you know what I did on that same day? I chased a lady 2 blocks in an electric scooter.
That thing was fast, man. And she got across Philadelphia Street, and I got trapped by traffic. And I just about was apprehending her. And then she scooted through the traffic, and they stopped for her, but they went when I got there. And I was like, and she just kept getting smaller. I thought, man, I got to run another block. So the traffic went by, and that's not a problem. I'm a runner anyway, but I just was determined to catch her. You know why? Because when I looked at her, I said, why is she in that scooter? She said, it's arthritis all through her body. He said, go track her down, talk to her, and pray. I said, yeah. And the traffic cut me off. So the traffic moved, and I took off, and she turned up an alley. And I'm like, man, that scooter's fast. So I took off. She told me it was brand new, had a charged battery. I said, no doubt. But I turned the corner, and I run, and I said, hey, girl. Hey, girl. She turned around. She said, what? I said, slow down. I've been chasing you for two blocks. And she said, you're chasing me? I said, yeah, I'm sorry. She said, well, don't apologize. Why are you chasing me? I said, well, I just appreciate you not being freaked out by the fact I was chasing you. And I'm like, but I was determined to catch you. I said, kiddo, I looked across Philadelphia Street and saw you riding. And I said, Lord, why is she in that chair? And he said, you had this rare form of rheumatoid arthritis, and at a young age, it started already gripping your body, and you're in that chair, and it ain't that you can't walk, but it's really hard, and it's just best to ride a chair. She said, sir, that's exactly what's wrong with me. I said, that's what I heard. She said, that's what you heard? I said, that's what I heard. I said, I think if I heard that, we probably ought to pray. She said, you can pray for me. She let me pray whether I heard it or not. She was just open. I prayed for her right after that whole wild experience. On that same day, I saw a man that hadn't talked since he had a stroke. Talk. I saw him use his arm, and he cried and said, I can shoot pool now at my pool table. You think that's unspiritual? That excited God. He created him to use his arms and limbs. And the man didn't like, hallelujah, God, I'm going to give my body to the full surrender of the work of the ministry. And now that you've restored... No, he very simply, in the level he was at, said, this is amazing. His wife went, because he's talking. Amen. He said, I can use my arm. Amen. She said, honey, you're talking. He said, I can shoot pool now at the pool table. You think his arm, if God's like you think, would have just went back. You know I could shoot pool. And a voice, that's not why I let it work. I've prayed for people like this going down the street. Excuse me, what'd you do? Man, pray. You gotta be blanking kidding me. What the blank? And I ain't never seen nobody go like this. You gotta be blanking kidding me. What the blank? I never seen that happen. That just bothers you. Because we get religious and we don't understand how we got saved. And we get self-righteous. And we get judgmental. And it's subtle. And it happens. And we get high-minded. And we don't realize what we're doing. And all of a sudden we're repulsed by the very thing we always were. And we don't understand and have compassion on people that they don't see what you've been granted to see. Because nobody comes to the Father unless he's drawn. You aren't free in your own right. You're not free because of your own ingenuity. You're free because you fell on his mercy. So why don't you be merciful? Amen. Come on, guys. I ain't never seen nobody. And then you pray and they're like, what the blank? Whoa. And I'm like, well, now you shouldn't have been talking like that. You moved God the wrong way on that one, buddy. You need to get that language out of your mouth so you can walk again. I'm not saying it's okay they're talking like that. They don't know any better. That's all they know in the moment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy doesn't give a man what he deserves. Mercy gives a man what the cross gives him. What the finished work says he deserves. And it's the goodness of God that leads men to change. Not you telling them, well, you shouldn't be talking like that. Do you realize God, we're in his presence and he just healed you and you're cursing? Get a grip. And understand the kingdom. In a minute, God can minister to his heart and change his language. You guys all right? So that little girl,
knelt down and prayed and asked her to press her foot on the floor. And she went, kids are awesome. There ain't no hype. There ain't no, they're just real. She went, she's walking with this big thing on, but she's walking and she's like, she looked at her little brother because she's like, because she's heard, he heard me and he watched dad and mom standing there like this. It's just that way. I don't know why. And she said her little brother's name and said, you know, just, I don't remember what it was. Just say it was Johnny. Johnny, look, it happened. I'm healed. And Johnny's going, man, that marks an 8-year-old. Man, it sure marks a 12-year-old. And then you kneel down in the department store and tears are rolling down your face. And you said, honey, it's because he loves you. He paid a price on the cross. Whenever you hear about Jesus and the cross, it's not an Easter story. He's a real man, a real Lord, a real King. And you know what? He lives in me. And he's teaching me love and power. And he's teaching me your value and everybody's value. This is the will of God. This is what we were made for, to walk in him. And I'm talking to her like that. And she's going, I said, give me a hug, sweetie. She squeezed me so hard. And I said, you don't have any pain. She said, none. And she's like, look, Johnny. And I go over to the mother who's in shock. She's just kind of stunned and feels embarrassed. And I caressed her shoulder gently and I said, hey, thank you so much for the honor of praying for your daughter. God is really good. Have an amazing day. Amen. You didn't lead him to the Lord? I gave him the Lord. Knock it off. I gave them an experience that they have to deal with, that Holy Spirit has a voice in, and he will turn their hearts in an amazing way. If that little girl said, sir, what must I do to be saved? If that mother cried and said, sir, I'm so convicted, what must I do to be saved? That's an easy response. I wasn't there to get her to pray our created sinner's prayer. I was there to love them. Whatever city you're in, heal the sick, tell them the kingdom of God is here. It didn't say heal the sick and make sure they pray the sinner's prayer. It said heal the sick and tell them. It's because the kingdom's here. That's why you're healed. Now guess what? Holy Spirit's working on what you sowed and bringing increase and saving the hearts of men. My responsibility has never been to save men. It's to love them so Holy Spirit can save them. You follow me? Okay, now listen, I do this sometimes. I know some of you might go, ah, but when you teach this much and you teach all this stuff, I just feel like I would love most of you to just go out with this teaching and take your veil off if it was there and meet with him and don't go to bed without communing. And I don't feel a lot of ministry. I don't feel a lot. You always have the right to pray for each other. Don't just storm me with a bunch of stuff and needs. Not that I don't love you. You guys know better. What I'm saying is don't get pulled from the thing God's invested with passion all night. If you came and you were sick and you wanted healing and you were looking for an altar call and prayer, let's not limit God to that. You just grab somebody and say, hey, you're saved, right? Would you pray for me? I came with this condition. I thought the pastor would pray for everybody. But would you pray for me? Don't be afraid to do that. Let's let the body flow and grow and be, all right? But for some of you, I'm telling you, it's not even about a lot of conversation and talk. I feel like some of our hearts were challenged in ways, encouraged in ways, and drawn into him in ways. And it's good sometimes to just go and respond to what God's saying. See, Mike and Becca listened to me preach on YouTube for 2 years, and they've listened a lot, and I commended them there. I said, I can tell by hanging around you, you don't just listen to me preach. You allow what you hear to take you to him. He said, exactly, that's what we do. We don't ever listen without responding to God. And I said, I get a little concerned when people tell me that they listen to me all day long. You know, that's all they do is listen to me. And I'm like, man, that's cool. It sounds honoring and all that. But I hope you do more than just listen to me. I hope you let listening to me take you to intimacy with him. Like people tell me, I go to bed with you at night. You're playing all the time. Husbands and wives say, oh, we lay in bed. You put us to sleep every night. I'm like, well, thanks. I must have been preaching good. And... But they say, oh, we got you on. My husband plays you in the house all day long. And I'm like, it sounds flattering. It sounds good. You're excited about something. But don't ever let what I'm preaching take the place of you knowing Him. Or we're deceived and we're missing the point of the message. Because if you've heard my heart at all, at any level, the passion is all about knowing Him and becoming more like Him through relationship. Okay? So you're going to yield to that thing? Would you do me a favor and stand to your feet? Would you do that? I want to pray something over you guys. There's a blessing in this. There's an impartation in this. Actually, I've learned in my life that the impartation in my life isn't laying hands on people. There's a place for that and there's a grace for that. But how do I give you what I cultivated in the secret place knowing Him? I just have to preach that and invite you into that place. Right? But I'm going to pray a grace over you right now, okay? I'm just going to pray that this word so seals in your heart and so sticks that you never get veiled up again. That if you were hindered in any way of pursuing Him, you can't be hindered again. That if your mind was talking you out of the truth, that your mind will just see clear. That God would grant this tonight and empower us to be with Him like never before. You guys in for that? You ready for that? You want that? So you guys want to become loved? Do you guys like want to walk in love and live in love? Because I've learned that in rooms like this, there's usually a few folks that say, I don't want to love. They want to hold on to the rights they inherited through the fall of man and live in rightness. He said, she said. Well, get off my back. Well, don't look at me. Well, they started it. Well, they're the ones that... Why aren't you talking... That man, the devil taught us to talk like that. Makes a good talk show. It entertains people. Victim, villain stuff. For some reason, we're into all that. But it sure don't make the kingdom. You guys ready? If you want to, just lift your hands to Him as a sign of yielding and just say, man, I want you, God. I want to become love. Thank you for loving me, fashioning me. Holy Spirit, I trust the work you're doing in my life. I trust you. You've qualified me, Lord. Some of you just need to say that. You've qualified me. I'm accepted in the Beloved. You don't look at me with disdain. You look at me and love me. You see my potential, my value, my destiny, and you're for me and not against me. In fact, you told me not to fear because it's your pleasure to give me the kingdom. So I yield to you, Father. The word Father means come forth from. I yield to you, Father, the one I came forth from. God means source of life. You call Him Father God. You're saying every time you call Him Father God, I came forth from the source of life. So, Father, my life is not happenstance. I'm not the lucky cell that went into the egg. I was predestined before time. You saw my day before it was ever seen. You knew me before I was ever known. And when I got into my mother's womb, you formed me and you knit me there. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I thank you, Father, for sending me a clear message through the cross that you love me and you know me from the beginning. And I thank you that the whole reason I'm alive is to know you and be transformed by you back into your image, and your image is love. So I'm willing and I'm ready, and I thank you for an increase in my sphere of influence. I thank you for impact, and I thank you for spontaneous living. I thank you that in the moment, I trust as you're fashioning my heart, things just begin to unfold and unveil, and I see things that I never saw. I step into things I've never done. And I just thank you that there's great change from this night forward. So, Father, right now I pray for every person in this house. And I thank you, God, that you're doing a great work. I thank you we truly have ears to hear. There's hearts to receive you. We're being fashioned by, we're being changed by you, God. I just thank you that you're the one that brings the increase. We're done striving. We're done comparing. We're done competing. We're done introspecting. God, we are saved. We are blessed. We're received and we're accepted. And we're believing that and we're making the tree good tonight. There's nothing that can keep me from you. And there's nothing that can stop me from becoming more and more like you. And I thank you, God, that all that I am is yours, so that all that you are is filled in me, and that the world can't deny that you're here, because when they see me, they get a real good look at you. Thank you for the honor. Thank you for the birthright. Thank you for the destiny. Life is not tough. It's a gift. And tonight I change my mind. I'm not trying to get through and survive. I have overcome. And I have a response in the face of all things. And my response is who you are. I thank you through me. You diffuse the knowledge of your fragrance everywhere. Because when you see me, you see your Son. Thank you, Father. God, I thank you for the grace on this house. I thank you this 90 days is not a 90 days. I thank you it cultivates into a lifestyle that's unstoppable. I thank you that heart after heart are refreshed and overwhelmed by the reality of your life in them and the life of the Spirit through them. And I thank you that person after person is found saying, oh my goodness, what was I thinking? I was created for this. This is why I'm alive. So convince us through transforming us and let the world see the power of your Son. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. I love you guys. Love somebody. And if this is your home church, we'll see you at 10 o'clock tomorrow. Amen?